This is Jess Explores. I'm Jess, and I work in MARE, the SFI Research Center for Energy, Climate, and Marine. Join me today on a new episode of Jess Explores. The other day, I saw a post on social media about a pilot whale that accidentally stranded, and I dove into the comment section, which really no sane person should ever do, but you know, I did. I wanted to see what people were saying and what they were thinking. The video that I saw or that post was very distressing. There was an animal, it was stranded, it was obviously in pain, it was thrashing, it was not a safe situation for the animal or for any human being. And the comments that were made were of a nurturing nature. There was a lot of people calling for action and they're asking people to help bringing the animal back into the sea. And then on the other hand, why people aren't supporting the animal, why they aren't helping. So you had already two camps, one of them saying that they want to help, one of them saying that the animal should be helped. And the last one, which is the most difficult stance, explaining why you couldn't help the animal, why it wouldn't have been a good idea to try to help the animal. So three different camps, and you could almost lump the first and the second group together, but let's keep them separate for now. People tend to get very angry about the ocean and about its resources and about the animals and all of that. People have very strong standpoints when it comes to the ocean. And while that is amazing, because I think everybody has a stake in the ocean, it becomes also very difficult. So with these three people or groups of people that you have, the first one saying that, you know, this is an emotional response, everybody should do something. And they're looking to experts to kind of guide them. And they're asking for somebody else to take responsibility. You will see that in a lot of governance and policy issues. There is a big group that will always ask for somebody else to take the lead, for somebody else to do something about the situation. And that's not a bad thing. It's just something that happens because some people feel they are not empowered enough to make this decision. They're not empowered enough, don't have enough training, or don't know enough about the situation, but they clearly recognize something is wrong. So having these kind of groups is important. The second group of people, which are the ones that are arguing very strongly that something should be done, and they have a very clear idea of what should be done. In contrast to the third group, which are the experts that may have spent years and years and years on researching this topic and that give advice on the best practice to keep themselves and the animals and the ocean safe, and advise on what to do. If you put that in contrast with the second group, that is very strong-willed and has an idea of what should and should not be done based on whatever experiences they have. And that's not to say that their experience are invaluable. It's just saying that sometimes the emotions are taking over and it can be very difficult to have an educated decision and discussion then. Now, the reason I want to talk about this is because anything in ocean governance undergoes these issues. There's a lot of people that have strong emotions about different aspects of the ocean, and there's a lot of people that know a little bit about small aspects of the ocean, but these experts may not have a holistic viewpoint, just as much as the people that call for action and the ones that are angry about the actions don't have a holistic view of the issues. That is the problem. We all only know a little bit, and we know that based on our education, based on what we've seen, based on what we've experienced. Now, the tricky part for the ocean and for marine social science and marine policy and marine regulation is putting these pieces together into a jigsaw that eventually makes a picture that we all can agree on. But it is challenging. It is very challenging. I deal with this every single day where I have my own viewpoint and I try to reconcile my own viewpoint with other people's. And that can be very disheartening and challenging because I try to understand, or they try to understand me. And some points get lost in translation. That is the nature of discussions. That is the nature of policy. And it's the nature of working with people. So what I'm trying to say is that in order for us to progress in a marine space, we need to have open dialogues. We need to keep the discussion going. We need to have open minds about how we regulate, how we organize and manage marine resources and animals, how we organize issues around well-being when it comes to the animal and ourselves, how we regulate issues about marine development, marine sectors, the usage of ocean spaces, the usage of seaweed, for example, the usage of fishing or bird watching, whale watching, all of these different activities that are so vital for our well-being and that are such a great part for our minds and spaces and great ways of seeing and experiencing the ocean. What we do need to also be aware of is that emotions are good. Emotions mean that one cares. And, you know, that's not to say that somebody who doesn't show emotions doesn't care. It's just emotions aren't inherently bad or good, but it's good to have them and kind of reflect on why you have them. But we cannot govern and regulate marine topics purely on emotions. That is not how this works. To regulate the ocean, we need to have as many people, as many stakeholders as possible from many different disciplines at the table with the people from a local community that benefit and that are actually living close to the ocean to understand the issues and to understand how we can best manage and regulate these issues. What I'm trying to say is that in order to understand the ocean, we need to have an interdisciplinary understanding. We need to have people with different backgrounds and as many different backgrounds as possible together at one table and make decisions for our future and the way we use oceans in the future together. Now, you may think now, well, this is going to take a long time. And it will. I have no illusion whatsoever that managing marine resources takes a very long time. And the reason is we can't just run out and just do whatever we want. That is not the point. We need to take our time to fully understand what is going on and what are the future predictions in order to understand what our best actions are and what our best actions for the future could be. Now, coming back to this animal that was stranded, and what actually happened then, the animal was able to refloat itself once the tide came back in. And about 3 or 4 days later, the animal washed ashore dead. The thing is, if we would have done what the emotional group said, and we would have tried to put the animal out into the water, we could have actually hurt the animal more. Now, why the animal stranded and why it then passed away, we don't know yet. There is investigations ongoing trying to figure out what has happened to the animal. But the anger that first was portrayed in the original post saying that people should do more and we're not doing it more, and I'm paraphrasing, by the way, there's a lot of very mean and awful things that were said about people, trained people, that were on the sidelines trying to make sure that the animal had a quiet space and that there weren't people, you know, like trying to touch it and stress it out more and all of that. But anyway, I want to caution that there's a lot that could have happened. For example, if people that weren't trained were trying to get to the animal and trying to help the animal, they could have gotten severely hurt and they could have injured themselves in a very damaging and long-term way. They could have also gotten sick from the animal in case they would have taken any of the animal breathings and could have gotten some pathogens or some worms or something like that. They could have hurt the animal if they didn't know what they were doing. They could have stressed out the animal even more and putting it into a situation where it didn't see another way out. And again, by doing that, they could have hurt themselves. This is something to keep in mind, that sometimes the best action may not agree with your viewpoint. But if you let some time pass and you reflect on it, you may recognize that people with different backgrounds may have a different understanding and may offer a different point of view and a different kind of solution, which may in the long term be beneficial for yourself, even if in that moment you don't agree with it. So this was a very long-winded way and a very maybe even far-reaching understanding of how stakeholder engagement and people acting and involved in the ocean contribute and benefit from talking to each other in order to manage marine resources. So I hope you found this somewhat helpful and somewhat entertaining to a degree. And if you want to reach out and let me know what your experience with stakeholder engagement is, and if you've ever come across some of these angry and very emotional people, or if you've been one of those people, let me know. And I hope you have a lovely week with a lot of sunshine and a lot of ocean activity. If you want to engage with me on social media, follow me on Twitter at Jess_explores, or follow me on Instagram at Jess_explores_podcast.